Tonight, we learn even more details in the Serpentine case. We meet Billy Taggart with the federal authorities, and plus, Marie has even more fallout from her case. It's episode 4 of the Unbelievable After Show, and it starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hi, guys.
Hey, how's everyone doing out there? If you're live streaming or listening to the podcast, thank you so much for having us in our lives and second screens. My name is Pulver Boyce, and you are listening to the AfterBuzz After Show for Unbelievable, episode 4. This season is getting better and better and better, but we have so much to talk about in today's edition. But before we do, let's introduce the panel because these guys are amazing. On my far, far left, this person has headlined the Another Life After Show. Give it up for Jack Farmer.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Man, this show is getting good. I love that we're starting to see some suspects.
Yeah.
Justice is going to get served.
Yeah.
I am pumped.
You seem very enthusiastic. You're out on the TV like, yeah, justice, suspects, like, crime.
Yes, yes.
I want
to see justice served. I'm so excited.
That's amazing. And Tua is right. She can be found on the Dudes After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. Give her Miss Alexis Brown.
Hello, everybody. I'm also excited about justice being served.
Yeah. Karate chops for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
So we're at the halfway point here. We're just at the halfway point of the season of Unbelievable on Netflix. Just, I want your overall thoughts about how the case has progressed. I know a lot of information was thrown at us in this edition. Starting with you, Alexis, what's going through your mind watching episode 4?
I mean, I guess for me, I was kind of getting a little frustrated. I was like, who is this person? When are we going to find out? I thought at the end we had finally caught him and we were getting close and it was nowhere near it. So I'm just ready to figure out who it is. But I'm just excited to watch the detectives do their thing because they're killing it and it seems like it's going to happen eventually.
So I'm jumping way, way ahead. But do you thought that the white Mazda was like the white Mazda?
I mean, I guess it would have been too easy in episode 4 for that to have been it. But I was like, ooh, this could be something. And then it was this black man. It's like, well, we know it's not him.
I know,
so
right?
I guess this is going nowhere.
Yeah, sure. Jack Farmer, just overall thoughts of today's episode.
I thought it was a great episode to tease us a little bit because there were so many moments throughout the show where it felt like they were getting their person, whether it be the guy from the college that they brought in, Scott Parrish, whether it be the white Mazda. We're like, oh, this is going to be the guy. Now they just need to prove it's them. But then, nope.
Yeah,
that's not them. And so it was very much a tease episode where you kept thinking you were going to get something, but she didn't.
Yeah.
That's a good description of it.
So let's talk about Scott Parrish for a second, because this guy definitely seems like a bit of a skeezball, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Definitely someone who his own friend or even colleague kind of gave him up, like, yeah, man, he makes girls forced to have sex with him, mm-hmm. which is one of the worst reputations you want to have on the planet. I want to see what you think, Jack, about his temperament and how he basically fell into Duvall's trap there. Just telling more and more information as his interrogation continued.
Yeah, his temperament, he seemed like a complete piece of trash, which was what we were supposed to
don't hold
get
back,
from
Jack,
that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he was presented as someone who was a terrible person. He lived up to the reputation. You wish that he could get charged with something because
yeah.
you know he's a terrible person.
Mm-hmm.
The person who acted him did a great job because I hated him and that was the role to be hated, and I wish we could get some justice for that guy, but it doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I agree. Even though he didn't do this particular crime, I still feel like he deserves to be in jail, and hopefully that ends up happening. And he also has a really dumb tattoo.
Yeah.
He gets a Christmas tree or whatever that was on their leg.
It looked like an arrowhead. Yeah,
yeah.
It was kind of weird. Yeah.
So you deserve to go to jail just for that tattoo.
Wow. Judgment being passed. Right. Well, I thought that was pretty interesting. They added that wrinkle, right? We always thought it was a birthmark. I still think it kind of can be a birthmark, but it could be a tattoo, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's these crimes were happening at night, and we don't really know what the visibility or whatever is.
Right.
I thought going into it, Scott Parrish would have been one of the guys, if not the guy, but I'm kind of happy it wasn't, at least for now, only because it would be a little bit too easy, right? Alexis, what do you think?
I think so, too. I mean, it could have still been him, and there was still more to dig or more people that could have come out that could have added on to the story because we are halfway through, but it's not him, so we're going to have to keep waiting.
Absolutely. Yeah. So,
I was going to say, there's always two parts to these things, these kind of shows. There's finding out who it is, but then there's proving who it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we could have seen him, them, the character today, the suspect today. We didn't, I don't believe, but seeing them early, this early, I think is possible. I think we're going to see them very soon, but yeah, there's definitely, they're going to find him, then we're going to have to go through the phase of them actually proving it was this person.
So, like, he's very defensive, right? Like, what do you mean? These girls say things all the time.
Right.
Like, why are you acting so sketchy, bro?
Yeah. You know? Because she really didn't ask him anything before he started just, like, going off. So. Yeah.
Isn't that what guilty people do, though?
Of course.
They start
yes.
trying to defend themselves before anything's
right.
ever
right.
even been accused.
Right. Mm-hmm. Always be aware of the person that's helping you look for the thing you've lost, because they're usually the person that helps you lose it.
Right, right.
This episode actually opens up with our heroes here, Duval and Rasmussen, going over Doris Lillard, a 17-year-old fraternity mom who was also attacked. I like the idea where they didn't go over the beat of tell me what happened. They say, hey, look, we read your file. We're not doing that. What happens? Is there anything new you can tell us? Jack, let me know about this. You know, having this lady who just seems to be a genuine good soul working for the fraternity. They call her Mama D, which is definitely a term
just
of infection.
Just making biscuits.
Yeah, like just doing her thing, man. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, like with all the victims, you feel terrible for them at first. And I felt really sad that that had happened to her. She seemed like such a nice lady, but she did present the information about him being somewhat kind during the attack, which I believe was the first time we had heard that about him, which I think paints just more of a picture about who he is.
Right. That's interesting the way you said it. Alexis, let me ask you this. Can someone be considered kind and gentle doing such a heinous crime?
I mean, she said it, so I guess comparatively, compared to what you think a rape would be or what you've heard about a rape, they're being a lot more gentle than is normal. But, I mean, they're still raping you. So I don't understand it. But I've also never been in that situation and hopefully never will be to know. So
absolutely. The MO here of the attacker, assuming that it is one person here, which I think it's a fair, safe assumption. It definitely seems to be at random. This is what actual Agent Taggart says with the federal authorities, that there's not a particular type. There isn't an age preference or racial preference. I want to walk you through this. When they met Agent Billy Taggart with the FBI, kind of, you know, was bemused at the fact there's an arranged marriage between the two police precincts. And it went into detail about a VCAP analysis about how they're trying to whittle down who this person may be. Alex, let me ask you this. The information came kind of fast and furious. He was kind of matter of fact about it. Like, we all would know, which is pretty cool. But the idea, do you think working with the federal authorities is on the right path? Do you think that they can help in a certain way? Or is this kind of like a bring the information to us and we'll help execute?
I think they probably have been trying to figure this out and just kind of put it on the back burner. But seeing the women and kind of hearing what they've been coming up with, they're like, oh, maybe there is something there. So let's get what we can from them so we can go back to trying to figure it out on our own. So that's why I was glad they didn't give them any information, because you're not about to take credit for what we've been doing and we've been working hard and we've really been putting a lot out for it by us just handing you the information.
Absolutely. Jack, we were talking about this in the last episode about how this show, as it presented as a fiction version of a true story, how it circumvents TV tropes. We've seen cop shows before where the federal authorities come in and they just say, we're taking over. But now we're seeing a very collaborative, looks like an investigation where it's like, hey, if you get the information, I can make it work. Just your thoughts about Billy Taggart and the federal influence so far.
Well, I think he might not be the person that you want to trust giving all the information to, because just because he's offering to help doesn't mean he's not also going to try to take the case away once he gets all that information.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
As of right now, he might be saying, let me see the information, because he might look at it and say, oh, well, this doesn't look like it's worth my time. But he might say, you know what? You have everything here. Let me just take all the work you did, and now I'm going to solve the case myself and take all the credit. But one thing, you'd mentioned that he said that there was no single type, but something Grace did chime in with was that there is the type, and that is the isolated woman.
Sure.
Which seems to fit everyone he's attacked so far.
Right. Yeah, it definitely seems that will be the common thread, I guess, between all the crimes now. I mean, I know we're kind of speculating here because we'll get the predictions later, but I'm sure there's going to be other instances of other crimes that may have come forward. But I do like the fact that now you have like this federal, like, you know, power up if you need be somewhere else there, if you have another way to go through these I'm gonna write this down here. The VCAP analysis, for example, I think that'd be a good tool to have. And I love the fact that Billy Tagger says your guy's just garden variety horrible, which is like, yeah, we totally agree.
I think something that I don't know how police work really works in real life, but I imagine at some point once they start getting beyond Colorado, because they're eventually gonna have to start talking about the cases in Washington State and maybe other states in between. I think you're going to have to get the FBI involved at some point.
Right.
Once they go beyond state lines. Again, I'm not an expert on how all that works, but I would imagine.
I mean, it makes sense. Could they really handle a case that big, just the two of them? I don't know. So they may involve themselves for that reason alone. Mm-hmm. If anything, like we already said, to get the credit for it. Because it's something that has been going on for years and nobody's been able to solve it. Now you have these two women who are coming and taking all the men's jobs by doing it.
Shout out to Girl Power.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Before we're moving on, Alexis, can you tell the world how they can listen to this AfterBuzz show and other AfterBuzz TV shows?
Of course. So if you're watching on YouTube, then you know you can find us on YouTube. So make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. But you can also listen to us on iTunes. So if you do so, make sure to give us a 5-star rating. And no matter what, no matter you're listening, no matter if you're watching, no matter what the show is, if it's Unbelievable or another AfterBuzz show, make sure just to continue to watch and interact with us, because we love talking to you about our shows, and we wouldn't be the ESPN of TV talk without you. So thank you.
Excellent. Shout out to everyone in the chat here listening live. You guys can comment and subscribe and even do a super chat with the super chat function here on YouTube. It looks like a little S inside of a box. Make sure you support the show that way. So moving on, I like the fact that there's been this thread that was planted in the last episode that's coming now, that Duvall has remembered Grace before, Rasmussen before, and she's like trying to play with it. There was a little bit of a scene there where Duvall was saying, hey, look, I'm not as old as you look. Do you remember me? And it was kind of in the background. Jack, I'm going to ask you first. I know you're speculating here, but do you think that there's some kind of thing that we're missing here?
I think there's something that happened that wasn't that pleasant for Duvall, that between them, and that Grace may not remember, and that's why she's not just fronting it right away. Because if you had just met someone and you know, like if we worked together and then 20 years from now cross paths and you don't remember, I was like, hey, I remember we did that show together. Mm-hmm. But if it was something bad, you wouldn't necessarily front it right away. So I think there's probably some drama between them.
Very good
that
point.
Maybe Grace doesn't remember right off the bat.
Do you think that Grace actually doesn't remember, or you think she does remember and is trying to play it off?
That's a fantastic question, because Grace seems like someone who might just keep the cards close to her vest if she doesn't need to let her know that she remembers.
Yeah, I think she knows, and she's just not saying anything.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, it definitely seems with the intent eye stare, like, you know.
What if that has to do with Max the Knife?
Yes, I wonder what that is. That is the mystery behind the mystery.
Maybe somewhere along the line, something happened. The Max the Knife thing came because of an altercation between those two from before, or a meeting before. I don't know.
Even though Duvall doesn't know about Max the Knife until the last episode, you think it's all related?
Yeah, like maybe the relationship between them both the Duvalls gave Max the Knife that name because of an interaction. I don't know. That's all predictions, but I want to know what's going on with Max the Knife.
Yeah,
that was definitely hopeful. We get some closure with. Just a real quick aside. We were watching the show in the trailer here at AfterBuzz TV Studios, and there was a line that was spoken today that both gave us pause, all three of us. It said that 40% of police officers report themselves as domestic abusers. I thought that was pretty interesting that it was dropped in this episode. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure of the validity of that, but that does put everything in perspective. Alexis, thoughts about that?
I mean, I think they are just kind of, how can I put this? They're putting it out there so that they won't get caught up later. Like,
sure.
Say, let me put it out there myself so I can control the narrative, control how things are handled, versus it just coming out later on its own, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was shocked about that, too. But also, shocked but not surprised, if that makes sense.
But as a citizen, you think that police officers of the law are having themselves above reproach, but...
Normal people. I don't know about me, but most people would think that.
I'm not touching that one.
Yeah. Different conversation.
But Jack, the cops are volunteering this information. They didn't fail a test. You guys are saying, you know what,
sorry to cut you off, but that's what it was for me. I was shocked that they would put out that information on their own, but not surprised that they were actually doing the acts.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe because they know how law enforcement works. They know if they front it, then they can bury it instead of being caught on their own.
Yeah.
I don't know, again, I don't know how accurate that number actually is. I assume it's got to be somewhat accurate for them to just drop it in the middle of a show like this, but I don't know. I think 40% of any career field having domestic violence issues is scary.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that goes with that question. And domestic violence is really one of the ones that are the most personal kinds of violent attacks, you know? So moving on, you know, there was a bit of fallout between the past cases. We learned that Amber's boyfriend is either they've broken up or they're separated or they're going about their separate ways. It's hard when people are victims of these kinds of crimes. You kind of assume there's going to be an immediate network, even though Amber says that her friends were fine with her. The fact that her boyfriend wasn't there gave her some pause. Alexis, to walk me through this, how do you feel that Amber is being like her support? Especially last episode, he was like, what are you doing, bro?
I mean, I got weird vibes about the boyfriend from the very beginning when she was talking about her boyfriend to the detective in the second episode, and she was like, he's very overprotective of me, and just kind of the way she talked about him to the detective, it kind of sent off a red flag for me in the beginning of that. So then meeting him in the last episode where he seemed like very like he had some type of anger issue himself, sort of, kind of. And I know it's a very contentious, you know, thing. She was attacked, but there was a weird vibe for me there. So I actually was happy that the boyfriend had gone away, but a little nervous to know why it was and what that means for how he's going to be treating her now.
Sure, Jack, is that the last we see of him?
I think so. I don't know why he would come back at this point from the show standpoint. He definitely did live up to the billing that she told him he was, as far as him being someone who was protective and all that in the last episode. I think we're going to see more of her not having anyone around her going forward. Because it seems weird, even as she was going out to see her friends, when the phone rings, she kind of hides the phone. Mm-hmm. And there's, oh, that's them, you got to go. As opposed to, yeah, they'll be here soon or whatever.
Yeah.
It's almost like she doesn't want everyone to see that there actually isn't anyone there.
Mm. Yeah, I do think it's kind of interesting, especially with Amber's case and how there was this, at first, it's okay, it happens, I'm strong, but then as it's going on, you're seeing it more and more affecting her day-to-day life. Personally, that's the one that gets me the most pause.
I think that's something that's been very interesting about this show and how a lot of the victims have actually handled it, from the outside looking on, seem like they handled it very well, as far as, you know, Marie, she still goes to work the next day. Mama D just is still working at the frat. Mm-hmm. Everyone seems to keep moving on with their lives and seems to handle it very well. But now with Amber, she's the one that you're really seeing start to crack and that maybe she's not doing well. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Marie has a whole bunch of problems she's dealing with. But, yeah, Amber's the one that you're starting to see. Maybe it's just her playing tough and it's not really that well.
Or on the flip side, I just feel like with people who deal with trauma and have dealt with something like this, maybe it comes in waves. Like some days are good, some days it hits them really hard. It just depends on what happens in that day, or, you know, if they just get a flashback or something. So it could have just been that she was having an off day. You never know with people who have been abused.
It's true. And it's very important that, like, the officer working the case have some sort of, like, bedside manner or empathy. Mm-hmm. Like, that scene that we went to Lily's mom's house, Ms. Darrow, Duval had so much empathy to even understand, like, the religious thing, the religious aspects. Let's walk me through the scene. How do you think Duval handled that, having this angry mom being like, where were you guys a year ago? Mm-hmm. Blah.
I think she handled it well because she wasn't there. She wasn't one of the people who handled the situation. I'm coming to you trying to help, but at the same time still being understanding that does happen where situations are just looked over, or detectives, you know, how they did Marie, they just kind of accused the girl of doing something even though she was the one who came as the victim. So I think she played it in a good way where it's like, I'm here to help you and we want to get answers, but also I'm going to be a little bit more calm about it and understanding because I know that situations like this do happen.
Sure. Right.
Yeah, I didn't think the mom of Lily did Lily any favors by being that difficult. Mm-hmm. I guess I see where she's coming from. I'd probably be very angry, too, if something had happened and I didn't get a response until a year later. Doesn't mean she's helping the situation. I mean, the police are there now. Try to help them out. I think we will hear from Lily because I think Duvall handled it perfectly by showing she understands her religious situation and she's respectful of it, and she's not trying to be a bully or say we need to talk to her right this minute. But I think being respectful opened that door for them.
Yeah, I think they just need to rebuild that trust, because I think they probably, after Lily's situation, thought, oh, the cops are going to handle this, justice is going to be served, they're going to take care of us, and they completely just neglected the situation, and now they've lost that trust in, you know, the justice system, and they feel like, oh, these people are coming here now, what are you coming here now for, what's the motive, why all of a sudden is it important to you? So I think they're really just going to have to work with that family to rebuild that trust in them.
Yeah, and I hope they do, because it looked like Miss Darrow was like, Harkness, he's terrible. And if you know that guy by name, you know, that's always a bad sign. But we get more and more information about Marie Adler and her case. It just seems that one bad beat after another, trying to figure out the whole citation versus summons thing. I mean, just poor girl, right? Jack and I were talking about this before, and how her fallout has been since her attack. Alexis, just thoughts on episodes 3 and 4 and Marie's journey.
I think it's in episode 4, I think she's starting to realize that, okay, maybe I can finally get my truth out. She's just scared, because I would be scared too. Nobody believes you. I lied about lying. Like, nobody's going to believe that. But at the same time, it's starting to become more real, because people have more stories like her and people are starting to take it a little bit more seriously. So I think episode 4 was kind of that reawakening for her. Like, maybe I should speak up. And I think in episode 5, not to sneak into predictions too soon, in episode 5, we're going to see her actually come out and say something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I feel so bad for all the victims. I feel so bad for her as well, just because she's so young and things just keep going wrong for her. The thing that really stood out to me about her story was how the citation that Hughes, the lawyer, said they never pursue this and that they never push for this. But in her case, they are, which then, of course, going back to the future in 2011 with Duvall and Grace, them saying it might be a police officer.
Right.
That just makes it stand out even more. That's that maybe someone is trying to stop her from talking.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, and she lucked out with Mr. Hughes, because he was not in the mood for another case at all. And taking a step back, it's very troubling, especially nowadays, how harried court-appointed attorneys are. I mean, those who can't afford legal representation are entitled to one. And a lot of these guys have such a large caseload that they're just like, look, man, I don't know. I don't have any more. But Marie's case was unique, and being able to look at that and say, hey, look, I'm going to plead not guilty now to buy you some time. Because it could have been really easy. Like, look, kid, just say guilty. We'll call it a day. Mm-hmm. But this could be the opening for something big. Thoughts?
I worry about that lawyer, Hughes. He seems like someone who will take the first bargain he can get to get it off his table.
It's a possibility.
Interesting.
Because he seems overworked, and he doesn't seem like he's that passionate about the case. Even with her, he was just like, okay, just keep your nose clean. I'm going to deal with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even to your point, Flobo, like, if that was the case, wouldn't, like you said, say you're guilty, you're going to go to jail, who cares? I wasn't even your lawyer. I just kind of got bamboozled into this. So I think he does care somewhat. I think he sees a scared young woman. And even like in her reactions of if it really happened or not, when he asked about that, I think he could kind of tell, like, maybe something did happen.
Yeah.
So I think he actually does want to help her, and I think he is going to help her.
Can we talk about Colleen looking at the other news report and being like, okay, baby, explain this.
Yeah.
You said it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And at first, I think going back to episode 1, we're like, did it happen or did it not? Mm-hmm. Now we know it did. Mm-hmm. I guess it was the right move on Colleen's part, but she came with a lot of energy. She kind of ran hot. Lexi, what do you thought about that?
Yeah, like, oh, now you want to believe me. Oh, now you want to see it. Because, like, was it not enough for you when I was crying saying that this happened to me, and all of a sudden you see this news story and it's like, you gotta say something, and it's like, well, you didn't believe me before, and you kind of like put me out on the spot before and kind of not put her in the situation, but led me into that situation. So it's just a weird place, because it didn't seem like she cared before, and now all of a sudden she cares. Do you care because it actually happened to her, or do you care because now it's this big thing?
Right. Absolutely.
Well, I think what really came to light with the news story is not only that obviously it's true, but I think especially for Colleen, she's seen that because it wasn't reported or followed through on, someone else was attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's got to be that guilt of if we had pursued this, that person may not have been attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I mean, if I was Colleen, I'd probably have some energy too at that moment.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like hearing it happen for the first time again.
Mm-hmm.
Now she knows it's real. Now she knows it really happened. Now what do you do? Obviously, going to the police is going to be a difficult situation,
right,
one way or the other.
Complicated with Mr. Hughes's advice and instructions. That's my favorite prediction. I'll get that in a bit. Before we move on, now it's time for our special segment. It's now time for Who Caught Ya?
Who Caught Ya?
Who Caught Ya? So today, I've got a fun little story about an Iowa man in Iowa City.
Of course, Iowa City's in Iowa, right?
Iowa City. This is a real story. So what happened is this fella, he thought it'd be a fun idea to steal an ID. You know, kids like to steal IDs. You got to get fake IDs somehow. So he steals this ID, and he steals it. He has it. Some time passes, and he goes, I'm going to use this ID to sneak into a club. So he goes to the club. He gets to the line. He gets all the way to the front of the line, and the bouncer says, okay, let me see your ID. Shows him the ID. The bouncer was the guy he stole the ID from.
Wow.
So he was looking at his own ID. So who caught ya? The bouncer caught ya.
I mean, did he not think? I mean, I guess you're not thinking, oh, let me check and make sure that's not the ID. But if you just stole that ID, the guy didn't look familiar. Did he change his hair?
Like, that raises too many questions because bouncers are a certain build. So was this kid a certain build too?
Or that's true.
I mean, he obviously wasn't the smartest kid to try this one. But he, I wish I could have seen the look on his face, on both their faces.
Right.
They're holding the ID and looking up and then him looking at the bouncer going, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Have you seen that P. Diddy meme where it's like him and that other guy and they're like staring at each other? It was probably like that.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do fake IDs, kids. Come on. Moving on, now it's time for our news segment. Alexis, tell us something we love to hear.
Yeah, so we've got some good news about the woman we all love, Miss Toni Collette.
Mm-hmm.
She is going to be in a new movie just days after the premiere of her thriller Knives Out at the Toronto Film Festival. They just announced that she's going to be in a new movie with Guillermo del Toro. It's called Nightmare Alley. And Bradley Cooper is always also going to be in the movie. It's a Fox Searchlight production. The story is set in a world of carnival hustlers and con men, telling the story of a mentalist, who Bradley Cooper is playing, who teams with a psychologist in order to swindle the rich. Things go south for the poor sap when he is out hustled by the woman, who is going to be Miss Toni Collette, because she's always outsmarting these men, as we see in Unbelievable.
Okay.
So it makes so much
sense.
Like it's a sport.
It's true.
Yeah, she's a sport for her. So our beloved Toni Collette's going to be in a new movie, and that's our news and gossip.
That's amazing. Rian Johnson did a movie I liked as a young adult, not a kid, called Brick. I love Brick. And Looper, too.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two of Rian Johnson movies I'm a big fan of. It says here on Wikipedia, he's also the Star Wars Last Jedi director, which I hadn't seen. Is that movie any good? Probably a side topic.
Not a Star Wars person.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
Oh, man.
It's a hot button topic for some people. I like it.
Oh, I see. Now it's time for our predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
That is hands down my favorite drop, because I had this picture putting on the foil helmet or the tinfoil hat. Just let me know what you guys think overall. What's going to happen in episode 5?
I think that Marie is finally going to be honest about what happened, and that's just going to spark even more, you know, deep diving into what happened. And they just going to keep on rocking with looking for who did it.
Okay, for sure. Okay. You're saying, Jack?
And I think this is in contrast to what I just said a moment ago, but I think Hughes is actually going to find out that it was a real case, it was a real situation, and he's going to deep dive into being super lawyer, because now he's going to see it might be a bigger case than
that's
he thought it
one.
Was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good thing.
That's a good one.
Because I did feel like in this episode, it was like, man, I want to pass the buck here, but there's something. Something's stroking my chin about that. I do think that Marie's story is going to get a little bit more fleshed out. She has to come forward at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what it means, the legal repercussions of it all, because, you know, your counselor said, hey, don't say anything. But I want to put you guys on the spot here. As far as the number of attacks, we're at five or maybe even six. That might be more than five, less than 10.
Yeah.
Do you think this person is attacking more, or do you think that it's pretty much leveling out how as Grace and Duval are trying to find a killer here?
I think there's a lot more than what's already come out.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just been going around just doing his thing.
Okay, great. So my follow-up question here, and that scene with Special Agent Taggart, mm-hmm. we're talking about the escalation mm-hmm. of these crimes. Mm-hmm. The first one, was a year and a half, mm-hmm. and the second one is a bit of like 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's really more the rhythm here of these different attacks, like every month or so, or just kind of like at random?
Yeah, it's just getting... not better and better, because it's getting worse and worse as far as what he's doing, but his tactics are getting a little bit more smart, and he's using a little bit more force, and now he's using a gun instead of a knife, and instead of just threatening to use a gun. So I think that's why it's going to be more and more and more, because he's getting smarter about it.
Sure.
Yeah, I think they're going to find he has cut a trail across the U.S. from mm-hmm. Washington to Colorado, and mm-hmm. they're going to find out that he's been doing it a lot, and we have seen a bit of a progression from just Marie's case, which, as far as we know, is case number one, and how it's built up and how it's a little bit different for the women in 2011. So I think we're going to see that it's just happened a lot. I think the number is going to be huge. I think it's going to be a very scary number.
Yeah.
Another question for you, Jack, specifically. The white truck, does Duval find it in episode 5? The white truck.
Yeah, let's say. Let's do it.
Sure. He's doubling down.
Let's do it. Episode 5, the white truck will get found. You heard it here first, unless you already binged the whole season.
Can I just say maybe that the white truck has nothing to do with this?
A red herring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was kind of just like, that car keeps driving back and forth, and we don't know why. Let's figure it out. It could have nothing to do with the case, and we not know. Or maybe he already got rid of the truck.
Mm.
That could be a good point, because as said earlier, guys like Scott Parrish were a red herring. Mm-hmm. So the show is not afraid to give us red herrings. Mm-hmm. We know that.
Which makes it that much better, because I like to play along with it. Mm-hmm. Final questions for our predictions. Today, in this episode, Grace kind of appealed to her husband, like, hey, man, help me out with some favors. And he's like, no, I cannot. Do you think Steve relents in episode 5 to help out Grace Rasmussen? Alexis?
Yeah, sure.
Predictions.
You never know with this show. Like, it could go a completely different way. So expect the unexpected, people.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit of yes and no. I think Grace is going to provide more evidence to show she should get the files. But it won't necessarily be the exact information she needs to get it, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
It'll be like,
I do, yeah.
Like he'll see that, yes, this is clearly where the information is, so I'll cut a few corners, but he's not going to do it. Just, sure, you asked.
Okay, fair. Final thoughts on today's episode and where you think the season's going to go, Jack?
I thought this was a really solid episode. It felt like a bit of a bridge between two bigger episodes. Mm-hmm. I feel like the next episode is going to be a really big episode.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely more of a building the foundation for the rest of the season. So I liked it, though. This has been a great series start to middle so far.
Great.
I definitely agree with that. I think like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that I'm starting to feel a little frustrated, like, oh, they keep thinking they have it and they don't have it. I'm thinking that they found it and they don't. So I think this is kind of the point in the show where you're starting to feel like maybe they won't find them. But then they surprise us, something unexpected happens, and we end up finding the person. So I'm just excited to see what happens, and like I said, expect the unexpected.
Absolutely. The investigation rolls on. I can't wait to see where the next stop is first. But Jack Farmer, do me a favor, tell the world what the world can find you online.
You can find me at jackcfarmer.com, as well as at realjackfarmer across all social media. Hit me up on Twitter if you want to discuss more about this amazing show. I love chatting with you guys, the viewers. No spoilers though. I'm only on episode 4.
Fair.
And you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at I am Lexi Fierce. That is IamLexiFierce.
Lexi Fierce, because you always get confused with being Beyonce.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I totally understand.
And the name probably doesn't help. It's like, you already look like her, and then, it's too much.
I get The Rock all the time. My name is Flo Boy.
I can see
it. I'm Flo Boy on Twitter. Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm Lopito on Instagram and Lopito.com. We're back for episode 5 soon, but until then, please buzz you later.
Buzz you later.